All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Stephen Terry Zinn, in loving memory of Steve's father, Albert Zinn, Bunim Tzvi, Ben Chaim, Zichron Lebracha, on the occasion of his 20th Yahrzeit. And our Daf Yomi sponsors, Ayala and Sarah Steinberg, and the Schos of Continued Health, for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha, and for a continued and enduring refuah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, all the families in Nechama, all those who need a refuah, should have one together with Kol Holy Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, should continue to shower Besoros Tovos upon all of Am Yisrael. Also with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, a really great daf. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59, and we are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Nun Ches Amud Beis 58b. Let's pick up Emirat Hashem. I believe we left off on the second wide line. We might have gotten a little bit further down. Right, does that make sense? Second wide line, further? Yeah, second wide line down. Yeah, perfect. Ella, La B'Shabbos, remember again, we left off kind of in the middle yesterday in the midst of a pretty significant machlokes about the placement of the Mizbeach. So remember again, although we have the Mizbeach drawn a certain way over here in this image, the fundamental machlokes is, where is the Mizbeach actually situated? Was it pushed ultimately to the north, or was it pushed to the south? Now what's what's kind of driving this particular discussion is this idea that the Gemara espoused a principle, or Rabbi Yossi espoused the principle, always a principle, anything taken from the inside to the outside has to be done outside on the closest area corresponding to the inside, but not inside. Similarly, again, anything taken from the inside to the outside has to be done on the inside in an area corresponding to the outside, but not on the inside. Great. The Gemara gave examples of both of those things. What we were focused on from the Gemara says from the outside to the inside was ultimately, again, from the inside to the outside were the coals. The coals for the Ketores. Remember again, as we spoke about yesterday, there is this Ma'arachas HaKetores, there is this pyre on the top of the Mizbeach that has one job, to produce coals, ultimately again, for the inner Mizbeach, for what we call the Mizbeach HaKetores, Mizbeach HaZav. So ultimately again, so now the question just is, where is this pyre? So based on the rule of Rabbi Yossi, this pyre really has to be opposite here. Now whether it's opposite the entranceway of the Heichal, or opposite the entranceway of the Ulam. Either way, it's got to be opposite this area. The problem just is, depending on where you put the Mizbeach, is going to determine whether or not this pyre is opposite the entranceway. So that's what we're in the middle of over here. And Lam Mishun Nekasavar, rather, Mar Spam at Rabbi Yossi over here, Lam Mishun Nekasavar, the Kuli Mizbeach B'Tzafon Kai. Rabbi Yossi must hold that the entire Mizbeach is situated in the north. Vahani, now one more piece of information. When the Gemara was talking about the placement of this ma'aracha, of this pyre, the Ketores pyre, so remember again, how do we describe it? Where is it situated? It's in the southwest corner, which, okay, good, pulled 4 amos north. Which is why, by the way, you can even see it in this image over here, which is why, again, it's not flush in the southwest corner, but you can see southwest area, pulled 4 amos north. So the Gemara is just trying to make sense of all of these details and figure out exactly how all of it works together. So the Gemara says, "V'hani arba amos ama yisod va'ama sove va'ama makom kronos va'ama makom ragle kohanim." And maybe the 4 amos that we're talking about correspond ultimately again to the 1 am of the yisod, that's the floor level base, 1 am of sove, that's the elevated ledge, 1 am of the horns themselves, and 1 am for the kohanim to be able to walk. The problem is, if you were to move it forward anymore, it would no longer be opposite the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Adi Barava says, one second, Haman, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yehudi. Now remember again, I just want to point out one more piece. In the midst of all this, remember, is our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah talk about? Our Mishnah introduced a very interesting case about shechting karbonos on the top of the Mizbeach. Excuse me, does that work? Rabbi Yossi says yes. Rabbi Yossi says yes. Remember, we're talking about Kodshei Kadoshim. Kodshei Kadoshim have to be shechted where? Safon, in the north. So Rabbi Yossi holds that the entire top of the Mizbeach has the status of north. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, it depends. If you're in the northern part of the Mizbeach, it works. And if you're in the southern part of the Mizbeach, it doesn't work. Okay. So they both say. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Go back to the Gemara." Sorry. So how money? I'm sorry. I'm Rav Adbrava. How money? Whose opinion is reflected over here? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. Authorship of the Mishnah. The Sanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mizbeach Memutza VaOmid BeEmtzah Zara UShloshim UShtayim Amos Hayula. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Halacha LeMaisam, the Mizbeach itself was situated directly in the middle of the Azar. Now, also, I just want to point out that's not this picture. That's not this picture. If you notice over here, this is not the center of the Azara. He holds the center would actually be a little bit further down, and watch how this works. He says, essentially, Bosa, just so you see, center means, when he says center, it means this middle part of the Mizbeach would be aligned with the entranceway over here. That's what center means in this context. So the Gemara says as follows. So I want to tell you, the great part is, so obviously we're struggling to find our good picture medium, right? How do we share these images? So I have to tell you, one of the great parts is literally almost every other day someone drops off a safer by my office. So I'm building my pictorial library. Interestingly enough, I don't know why this is. No one has come up with like a proper safer on Zvachim, which is strange, which is really incredibly strange. So yesterday, actually, Pacey Caden brought me a fantastic, I should have brought him today, one of the most beautiful, sorry, it's on Meseches Yuma. It goes daf by daf on Yuma. There's a lot of overlap, not as much for today, but there's a lot of overlap with it. Just a beautiful pictorial guide tomorrow. So if anyone, you know, is looking for a new life project and you want to put together a pictorial guide for Meseches Zvachim, I'm happy to write the Haskama. Not that that's going to sell. It's not going to sell any copies of my Haskama, but it's just incredible. So one of the byproducts of being frustrated with our picture matzav. In any event, so just pointing out over here, when Rabbi Huda says that the Mizbeach is in the center, just so you see, this picture, if you look at it at a distance, it looks centered, but it's not centered. So center would be this middle part of here that we call the Tapuach, which we haven't spoken about, like this ash heap in the middle. We haven't spoken about this yet. This really represents the center of the Mizbeach, and if this was centered, this would be opposite the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Huda says like this. So the Gemara says, "Haman Rabbi Huda, the Sanya, Rabbi Huda Omer Mizbeach Memutza VaOmid BeEmtzah Azara." So Rabbi Huda holds that the Mizbeach itself was centered in the middle of the Azar. Now watch this. Ushloshim Ushtayim Amos Hayalan. Now, Bosa, and I remember again, also what's great is remember we're accumulating our Mizbeach knowledge. How big was the Mizbeach? 32 Amos by 32 Amos. Now, Bosa, and I remember again, does the Mizbeach have to be 32 Amos by 32 Amos? No, that was yesterday's daf. You could even, technically speaking, make a smaller Mizbeach. Now, minimum shear we haven't discussed. But anyway, let's just go with what we know. 32 Amos by 32 Amos. Now, watch this. Eser Amos Keneged Pischo Shel Heichal. So therefore, you know, both say, it had the middle 10 Amos of the Mizbeach corresponded to the 10 Amos opening of the Heichal. Both say, remember again, when we speak about the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, there are two different entrances. There's the entranceway to the Heichal, which is the entranceway over here to the Beis HaMikdash proper. And then there's the entranceway to the Ulam, which is the entranceway to the antechamber, which was wider than the entranceway to the Heichal. Okay? So therefore, again, Rabbi Huda says like this. The middle 10 Amos of the Mizbeach corresponded to the 10 Amma entrance of the Heichal. Beautiful. And then very simply, Achat Esrei Amma Mikan, V'Achat Esrei Amma Mikan. And therefore, Bosse, obviously, if the middle 10 are lined up with the entranceway to the Heichal, that means you have an additional 11 Amos on each side. On each side. And also, someone did leave me yesterday. I don't know what happened to it. Someone left me, a nice Shir member, the intro to the Yerushalmi Yuma. Somebody left it over here. Somebody must have put it away. Okay, so, all right, I'll make a copy of that after, because that was also an excellent image. It's pretty much this image with just a little bit more detail. Whoever left that for me, thank you. Nimsa, Mizbeach Mechavin Keneged Heichal. So, everybody said, therefore, what do you see from here? According to this model, the Mizbeach itself was directly opposite the entranceway of the Heichal. Sof, Rabbi Yehuda, Chad Sari Baylameh. Say, Shabbos, here's the problem. It's very nice, and it sounds very symmetrical, that now you have the Mizbeach opposite the Heichal. Bosei, remember again, what's our problem? What's our continued problem? Our continued problem is, we have a principle. What's the principle? Anything taken from the outside to the inside, right, ultimately, again, has to be lined up with the interior, entranceway. So remember, we keep getting back to this area over here, this pyre, right, the pyre for the ketores. So remember again, we're making coals over here, and bringing those coals inside, which according to the rule, where should this pyre be? Where should this pyre be? Where should it be? It should be lower down, so it's opposite here. The problem is, what we're running into is, no matter how you situate the Mizbeach, this pyre is not opposite to the entrance ways. So just, we're living out of conformance with our rules. So even if you go with this idea that the Mizbeach is centered, at the end of the day, you would still have to move the pyre 11 amos forward in order for it to be opposite the entrance way. And even if you say that the entrance way of the Heichal and the entrance way of the Ulam are one Kedusha, which means as long as you're opposite even the larger entrance way of the Ulam, you're good to go. Still, Shish by Lemese, you would still need to move this pyre, 6 amos northward in order for it to be opposite the entrance way. So then, one second. Mi Sarvet Hani Arba Amos Bahadi Ami Yisod Ba'amos Aviv. Do you assume, Nebuchadnezzar, when we say that the pyre itself was moved 4 amos forward, right? 4 amos northward. Do we say that that's ultimately, again, corresponding or together with the Amma of the Yisod, the Amma of the Soviv? To which Mara says, no. Arba Amos Bar Me Amma Yisod Va Amma Soviv. No, that would be independent, ultimately, again, of those additional Amos. I V'nukma K'Rabbi Yossi Obe Me'mutza. So why not go ahead and set it up like Rabbi Yossi and also say that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mizbeach is centered. So Mara says, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Shaman Alei Me'mutza Behedyo. Because why would we do that? At the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who is quoted explicitly as putting the Mizbeach in the middle. Okay. Rav Sharvia says, Amar, Hamani, whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yosei Lili, it's Rabbi Yosei Lili, he's saying, Rabbi Yosei Lili, Omer, Mitoch Sha'amar, Venasata, Sakir, Ben Omoed, Vigomer, Ves, Mizbeach Ha'olah. So we'll say, now watch this. Now we're introducing something additional as well, which is the placement of the kir. Now, both say, we spoke about the kir in the beginning of the Masechta, but we never really spoke about, again, where the kir is. If you notice, again, look at this picture over here. Here is the kir. The kir, remember, again, is the wash basin. The wash basin. So it's between the Mizbeach and between the Ulam, situated, again, we'll call it, I guess we'd call this, like, southwest area. And you're supposed to remember again, now, what's fascinating about this, by the way, is, I don't know why, but if you don't look at any of the pictures, you usually assume that where is the kiyar situated? Somewhere here. Like when you're first walking into what we call the Ezras Kohen, right? Come into the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there are other access points, but assume you're coming in through the Ezras Noshim, coming through Shar Nikanor, getting ready to do your Avodah. You would have just intuitively put the kiyar right here, somewhere in this area. Yet, interestingly enough, again, without getting caught up in specific placement, it is actually here between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. See, interestingly enough, so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk says, Ves Mizbeach Ha'ola Sham Pesach Mishkan O'amoid Vayal Allah Ves Ha'ola Ves HaMincha Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So now watch this. So the Pasuk says, I'm sorry, one more. V'nasata Sakir Ben O'amoid U'ben HaMizbeach V'nasata Shamayin. So the Pasuk itself says, you shall put the Kiyor between the Mizbeach and the Ohel Moed. Okay, so here we'll say, so this placement of between the Mizbeach and the and what we call, the Gemara called, remember, when the Torah sees that Ohel Moed for our purposes refers to the Heichal, right? The Heichal, the Ulam Heichal area. So this explicit pasuk that says that the Kiyor is placed in between these two areas. The Gomer, and then the pasuk says Ves Mizbeach Ha'Ola, and then the pasuk says Ves Mizbeach Ha'Ola. Now remember again, it says Ves Mizbeach Ha'Ola Sam Pesach Mishkan O Amoy. So we'll say, so I just want to point out what's happening over here. There's two psukim. One pasuk says you shall place the kiyar in between the Mizbeach and the O Amoy, and the second pasuk says you shall place the Mizbeach opposite the entranceway. Ves Mizbeach Ha'Ola Sam Pesach Mishkan O. You shall place the Mizbeach opposite the entrance of the Ohel Moed. Now watch this. So top of the Nun Tesvos, say 59a. So the Gemara says, Mizbeach b'Pesach Ohel Moed, v'lo kir b'Pesach Ohel Moed. And I will say, if you notice, by the way, the language of the Psukim is a little bit different. When it comes to the kir, so the Torah says, you shall place the kir between the Ohel Moed and the Mizbeach. Okay? When it speaks about the Mizbeach, it says you shall place the Mizbeach opposite the entrance of the Ohel Moed. So the Gemara says, based on that, Mizbeach bePesach Ohel Moed, velo kir bePesach Ohel Moed. So what do you see from here? The Mizbeach itself is placed opposite the entranceway of the Ohel Moed, and the kir is not. So the kir has to be between the Mizbeach and the Ohel Moed, but not opposite the entrance of the Ohel Moed. So watch this. So heichan hayanos, no? So where should the kir be placed? Beina ulam v'la mizbeach mashuch kima klape hadarim. It is placed ultimately again between the ulam and the mizbeach, pulled a little bit southward. Shabbos said, that's it, that's this, that's it. Between the mizbeach and between the ulam and between the heichal, pulled a little bit southward. So the Gemara said, Maika Savar. So what's the logic behind this? Ika Savar called the mizbeach bedarim kai nuk mimekosal heichal ladarim. So I'll say, so now the question is, where is the Mizbeach situated according to this? If you hold that the Mizbeach is situated southward, which means the entire Mizbeach is, remember again, I will say in this image, south is up, that ultimately, again, that the Mizbeach is fully pulled up. If that's the case of Osai, then just put the Kiyar a little bit south of the southwestern doorpost of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, put the Kiyar a little bit further up. Right? All you need is just, in other words, here's what I know. I need the kiyar ultimately again between the mizbeach and between the heichal, not opposite the entrance of the heichal, because that's where the mizbeach lives, pulled a little bit southernward. So therefore, again, just put it immediately southward of the southern doorpost. So the Gemara says, and if you hold that the kiddusha of the heichal and the ulam is one, which means again the entranceway of the ulam and the entranceway of the heichal both work. Ultimately, again, just go ahead and place it southernward of or southward of the southern doorpost of the ulam. The Beit Ulam Mizbeach. Inami ka'inami kasar chetzia betzafon. Or, if you hold that the Mizbeach was situated half in the north and half in the south, which is kind of a little bit more about like what this image is, not exactly, but right, if you hold that it was just centered, and there was a line that just bisected it, north and south, the Gemara says, Nukmi mikosal hecha uladarom, right, bein ulam v'la Mizbeach. Then go ahead and put the kiyar once again, a little bit, no, right, put it on the side of the wall of the doorpost of the Heichal and pull it a little bit to the north, a little bit to the south. And that would make it ultimately again between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. V'inami kasavar kiddusha ha'sulam v'heichal chadehi. And if you hold that the kiddusha, the entranceway of the Ulam and the Heichal is one, then nukme mikosal Ulam v'ladaram, bin Ulam Mizbeach. Then once again, just put it a little bit southward of the southern doorpost of the Ulam and you are good to go. Alav mishum, rather, both say the fact that these are not mentioned must be that what? Alav mishum da kasavar, kule mizbeach bitzafon. It must be that according to this opinion, the entire mizbeach actually is situated in the north. It's pulled northward. Ki nami mukmaste mikos lahechan letzafon. So if that's the case, then when you go ahead and when you establish it ultimately again, between, right, Mikosa Hechal Velitzafon, Havale Bein Ulam Mizbeach. The ultimately, again, is between Ulam and the Mizbeach. Venukma Mikosa Ulam Velitzafon. So why not go ahead and set it up then on the northern side, right, between by the northern doorpost, between the Ulam. Bevein Ulam and the Mizbeach Amakra, because the Pasuk does say, where does the Kir have to be situated? It has to be situated between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Amakra, Safona, Sheit Safon, Pane Mikhelem. So we'll say, this is a new detail that we never saw before. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Safona, just in the context of the Pasuk, V'shachat, Osal Yerach HaMizbeach, Safona, you shall shecht it by the edge, or by the side of the Mizbeach in the north. The Gemara darshins, Sheit Safon, Pane Mikhelem. The northern side of the Azara, of the courtyard, must be empty of other utensils. Shabbos says, which means, now what is the Gemara darshan? The Gemara says that you could use the north to shecht karbanos, but the northern side must be empty of utensils. Which means, Shabbos says, by the way, if you notice, that indeed is the case. If you look on the northern side over here, there's nothing in the north. Now the truth is, you have these rings and you have these tables. These tables were used for like cutting up the carcasses or tying up the bodies of the animals. But the ma'isik, and these aren't kalim. These aren't utensils based on mikdash. The kiyar is a kli of the Beis Hamikdash. So there's just an interesting fact over here that Safona tells us that the north can't have any kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, man tanan depaling galid Rabbi Yosei Halevi. Who is the opinion who argues on Rabbi Yosei Halevi? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the son of Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Safona she hates Safon panuim mikelim. That ultimately, again, the north has to be empty of utensils. Watch this. Va'afilu mina mizbeach. Even of the altar, which means Rabbi said that ultimately that's what? That the Mizbeach itself can't be occupying the north. Rather, again, the Mizbeach itself must be pulled out from the north as well. Very interesting. Okay, so Rabbi said, so what we have over here, kind of the Gemara doesn't end up with resolution. We'll talk about the Rambam Beis HaBechira, where actually everything is situated, but just understand our open machloksim. Really, the major machlokes that we are dealing with is the positioning of the Mizbeach. And that really drives all of our other machlokes. So essentially, just so you understand, we have three opinions. One opinion, the Beis HaMikdash was pulled totally southward. Okay? One opinion, the Beis HaMikdash was pulled totally northward. Actually, four opinions. One opinion, the Beis HaMikdash was exactly centered to, the Mizbeach was exactly centered to the Beis HaMikdash itself, and the other opinion, which is pretty much the image you see over here, which is it's not exactly centered, but more centered than a north or a south orientation. So four way machlokes as to the positioning of the Mizbeach. That's number one. So keep that in mind. Number two, this rule that was espoused, that when you have something brought from the outside to the inside, it must be placed on the inside opposite the area on the outside, right? That the areas must directly correspond. That causes a problem ultimately again for this pyre, the Ma'arachas HaKtores, because it's not opposite the entranceway. We also learned about this pyre, right? This Ma'arachas HaKtores, this pyre for the Ketores, which was used against southwest corner, pulled four amos here from the southwest corner, used to make coals. One job, make coals for the Mizbeach HaKtores. That's all the information we have right now. Now, in these last couple of moments, we just had the Kiyor. Kiyor has to be situated again between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Why is the Kiyor here on the southern side and not on the northern side? And what's the answer? Because the Pasuk teaches me you can't have Kalim on the northern side. So once I can't have Kalim on the northern side, and I know that the Kiyor has to be between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, there's only one place to put the Kiyor ultimately again, which is here. Incredible. So a lot of information that we are amassing ultimately, again, as we go through this. Again, don't have resolution yet on where the Mizbeach is, but we'll get there. Now the Gemara goes on a bit of a tangent. The Gemara says, Amarav, Mizbeach Shenifkam, this is very interesting. Now, by the way, Reb Shalom asked this yesterday, and actually Dr. Gladstone also raised this the other day. It is fascinating to note that you have this machlokes about major details of the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas some of the people being quoted over here lived during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash or not long after. For example, again, just going back 2 days, we had a fundamental machlokes about when can you eat Karban Pesach until? Can you eat Karban Pesach until midnight or until dawn? Those machlokes Rabbi Akiva, right? Remember, Rabbi Akiva lived during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. He lived during the times of the Churban. So you wonder to yourself, I don't understand, how are they having these machlokesim when there are people that actually saw what occurred? Right, there are people who saw where the Beis HaMikdash was. Rabbi Soloveitchik actually discusses this in a different context. And the Rav says, from here you see the tremendous trauma of the Churban. Traumatic events, when people undergo dramatic trauma, often what it does is it confuses their ability to recall facts. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, you see from here just how overwhelmingly traumatic the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was. That literally, again, Jewish life was overturned. Everything that we had known was overturned. It was initially an existential threat to the continuity of Klal Yisrael. It was felt that it was that. And as a result, it was so traumatic that there was even difficulty in recalling exact fact afterwards. That's how traumatic the Churban was. For us, we think about social Beis HaMikdash. It was an event. It was an event in a number of different traumatic events. The trauma of the Churban was something dramatically and traumatically different. And as a result, you see, again, even difficulty in recalling facts, even by those who may have seen it with their own eyes. Incredible. Let's go back to Amarav. Mizbeach Shenifkam. So we'll say if you have a Mizbeach, ultimately, again, it was damaged. It's incredible. Mizbeach was damaged. You don't want to be that guy who damaged the Mizbeach, right? But the Mizbeach was damaged. So what's the halacha? Kol ha-kodshim shenishchetu sham psulin. Any karbonos that were shechted there are pasul. Now, it's not immediately clear what this means. Right? Obviously, if the Mizbeach is damaged and somebody actually shechts a carbon on it, of course the carbon is not going to be good. But we'll see a little bit more what it means. The Gemara says, Mikrahu, so this is Rav speaking, Mikra b'yadin v'shachnua. So Rav says we had a pasuk that supported this, but I don't remember what the pasuk was. Incredible. So Gemara says, Kisal Rav Kano. And when Rav Kahana went out, so Rav Kahana went out and he tried to find the source for this. And he's found, they said over the name of Shlomo Rabbi Yossi, "V'nayim mizbeach shenifkam." From where do we know? From a mizbeach that was damaged, shekala kachim shenishchetu sham psulin. That all the karbanos ultimately again that were shechted there are apostle. Where do we know that from? Shinemar v'zavachta alavas olasecha v'es shalamecha. The pasuk says, "You shall shecht upon the mizbeach your olos and your shlamin." Now, listen. Here's the problem. V'chi alecha atazoveach. Now, listen. V'chi alavat atazoveach. Do we shecht karbanos on the mizbeach? No. We just got finished talking about this. We don't shecht karbanos. Where do we shecht karbanos? It depends, right? What does it depend on? If it's Kachim Kadashim, where do you shecht it? In the north. And if it's Kachim Kalim, anywhere in the Azara. But point is, you're shechting it on the ground. You're not, again, yes, we have a Mishnah that talks about what happens if you shechted it on the Mizbeach itself, but that's not the norm. So why does the Pasuk frame it as you're shechting your karbanos on the Mizbeach? So rather, again, the Gemara says, Ela, kishu shalim velo kishu chaser. Rather, when the Pasuk says, v'zavachta alav, you shall shecht on the Mizbeach, what it means is, when can you shecht? When the Mizbeach is complete and not when it is deficient. That's the idea. The alav means shechita of karbanos is proper when the mizbeach is intact, but not when it is damaged. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Amar Hainukra. So the Ishtamit Leil Rav. So Rav Kahana said, oh, that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk that Rav forgot. So therefore, Rav Osai, now we round out this picture. So Rav said, Aloch Lamaisa, if you shecht karbanos at a time that the mizbeach is damaged, ultimately, again, the karbanos are invalid. Why? Because the pasuk says, V'zavachta alav, Es olasecha v'es shalamecha. You shall shecht on it your karbanos. What does it mean you shall shecht on it? When the mizbeach itself is intact, ultimately, again, you could shecht karbanos. But when it's not intact, any shechita of karbanos is invalid. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad zeh v'echad zeh psulin. Now, both saying. Now, watch what's happened over here. So Rav says, if you have a damaged mizbeach and you shecht karbanos, those karbanos are invalid. Rabbi Yochanan says, we'll say, even if you designate karbanos, you didn't shecht them, you designate animals as karbanos at a time ultimately that the mizbeach is deficient, ultimately again, those karbanos are invalid. If you take a quick look at Rashi says, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, it's in the intermediate wide lines, three lines in. Echad zeh v'echad zeh, bein shenishchetu b'shas pigimasan, bein shenishchetu achar tikuna, psulin kala kachem, shahayu kidushin ba'osa shah, lefi shenira v'nitlo. So we'll say this is incredible. So therefore, Rav says, only karbanos that you actually shecht at the time that the mizbeach is damaged are unfit for use. Rabbi Yochanan says, even karbanos that you designated at the time that the mizbeach was damaged, ultimately again, are possible. So says the Gemara, but my pligi, what are they arguing about? Rav savar bali chaim ina nitchin. Rabbi Yochanan savar bali chaim nitchin. Rabbi said, we've seen this concept of dichoi. Dichoi means once something ultimately again is set aside for non-use, it can no longer be redeemed for use. So Rav says, only something shechted can be nitcha, can be set aside for non-use. But if you just have a consecrated living animal, it's fine. Just wait to offer it till the mizbeach is repaired. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, no, even bali chayim, even living animals can be set aside for non-use. And therefore, again, if you designated a karban at the time that the mizbeach was unfit for use, that animal itself forever becomes precluded for sacrificial use. That's the machlokes. So basically, where is the kasha? Kol hakadshim shahayu achlo nivna hamizbeach. So listen, I watch this. The Gemara says like this. It's actually fascinating. All karbanos that you had, all animals that were designated as karbanos, it wasn't at the Pashtos. This sounds like between the first and second Batei Mikdash. So ultimately, again, if you had designated animals as karbanos before the second Beis HaMikdash was built, and then the second Beis HaMikdash was built, those animals ultimately, again, are precluded from use. So the Gemara says, Nivne Tichuyin Be'ikar Ninhu. But one second, if you designated these animals when there's no Beis HaMikdash, aren't they set aside for non-use from the beginning? Ella Achelo Ne'erasam Mizbeach. Rather, both say it's very interesting. Rather, here we're talking about? We're talking about karbanos that ultimately were designated before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now the Gemara is saying, you can't bring them when the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ne'eras, of course you can't. Why I both say? Because again, they would be aged out. Remember again, Ne'eras Ha'iskin Lehu. Remember again, I both say, everything that was designated by the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, by the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, right, came along, they would be walking around with their little, like, sheep walkers, you know, whatever. They're not gonna, right, they're clearly gonna be aged out from any type of use anyway. Ella, ad shelo nifkam ha-mizbeach, v'achar kach nifkam ha-mizbeach pasal. Rather, Rabosai, the Gemara says like this. We're talking about over here, that halacha l'maisa, if you went ahead and you designated an animal, and then the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Mizbeach was damaged, right? And then you repaired it. At the time you repaired the Mizbeach, you can't go ahead and offer up that karban, which seems to support Rabbi Yochanan's idea that Balei Chayim Nidchin, that even an animal designated as a karban at the time that it cannot be offered is forever precluded for non-use, or forever designated as non-use. Gemara, one second. V'lo teruzi kamitarasta a'ema shenishchetu. But again, you could change the wording, just like you're modifying the wording over here. Modify the wording to say not about designated, but rather again, the animal was shechted. If it was shechted, ultimately again, then it is forever set aside as non-use. And I both say, by the way, just so you know, that's how we paskin. We paskin balei chayim ina nitchin. Living animals are not designated for non-use. So, for example, in this case over here, if you designated an animal as a karban, and now let's say again the mizbeach became damaged, so you can't offer it up. Once they repair the mizbeach, you can go ahead and offer up that karban. Whereas, if let's say again the mizbeach was damaged, you shechted a karban, and now let's say they do the repair that day. If at the time you shechted the karban, the mizbeach was not usable, ultimately, again, that karban is forever set aside as non-use. So a living animal, is not set aside for permanent non-use, but a shechted karban, if it can't be offered up at the time of the shechita, it is forever set aside like non-use. We paskin like Rav. Interesting. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Hamrav Gidol Amrav Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin Kitoris Bimkomo." So this is very interesting. Let's say this is actually quite fascinating. That halacha lemaisa, if you have Mizbeach Kitoris and Mizbeach Kitoris was not there, it was uprooted from its place. Rashi says, "Mizbeach Shenekar Bimizbeach Penimi Kamari VeKasach Adaitcha Hu Adin Lechitzon Kashe Derav Adras." Well, so listen to this. So the Gemara now says as follows, that if you have the inner Mizbeach, which is the golden altar used for Kitoris, used for incense, if it was uprooted ultimately again from its place, I don't know, it was removed, it was taken away, what's talacha? Maktirin kitoras bimkoma. Ultimately, you could still offer kitoras where? On the floor. On the floor of the heichal itself. Nebos and Abed Pashlos, what does that sound like? That even in the absence of the Mizbeach, you can still continue a sacrificial service. If that's the case, it's a kasha on Rav, because why should we say just because the Mizbeach is damaged, why should that preclude future sacrificial service? Kidam Rava, Moder Bihuda Bidamim. Hachanami Moder Rav Bidamim. Here's the difference I will say. There's no blood applications without a Mizbeach. That's the difference. Technically speaking, it's actually quite interesting. Apparently, kitores, right, incense offering, can be done even without a mizbeach. Blood applications absolutely, unequivocally require a mizbeach and cannot be done without the mizbeach. So my Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say, what's the position of Rabbi Yehuda? It's really quite interesting. So my Rabbi Yehuda, this is fascinating. We'll say, now listen to this. This is talking about, again, first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech. So the Pasuk says, The pasuk says it was on that day. This is in Malachim Aleph. It was on that day. Kidesh Hamelach Tocha Chatzar. Now, both listen to this. Let me give you a little bit of background. Let's read the rest of the pasuk. Kimizbeach Katan Mehechal. Kimizbeach Katan Mehechal. So now the pasuk seems to indicate like this. On the day that they consecrated the Beis Hamikdash, Shlomo Hamelach also consecrated the floor of the Beis Hamikdash, the floor, to be allowed to be used for animal sacrifice. Why? Because there was such a dramatic volume of karbanos that day that the Mizbeach could not accommodate all of the karbanos. That's what's happening over here. To which the Gemara says, Mizbeach kata me'achil, dvarm kichsal m'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the way the pasuk says it is exactly the way that it occurred. Look at Rashi, Dvarim Kich Savan, Shekidesh Esar, the third to last line of the daf in Rashi, Shekidesh Esar Ritzpa Kula, the Shem Mizbeach, Lahaktir Allah. So literally again, Shlomo HaMelech consecrated the floor of the Beis HaMikdash itself to almost serve as an extension of the Mizbeach, to actually sacrifice animals on it. Lefi, Shaya Mizbeach, Katan mehachil olos u'shlamim shekrivu l'chanukas hamizbeach. Rami not one of Yehuda hachi mashrakar. So we'll say now. Listen to this. Therefore, Allah is incredible. So Yehuda actually holds the pasuk is to be taken literally. Now we'll say we're going to see. Get ready for this. They offered up a total of 142,000 karbanos on the day that Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. 142,000. How wild. Now, the Gemara says, therefore, Rabbi Huda says, literally, the Mizbeach was too small. So Shlomo HaMelech did something very interesting. He consecrated the floor of the Mikdash itself to actually make the floor of the Mikdash like the Mizbeach. That would allow, obviously, again, for sacrificial service on the entire area. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Amar Bezer will say, Amar Rabbi Yossi. V'alo kvar ne'emar elef olos yala Shlomo Mizbeach. Oh, yet the Pasuk says that the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built was very big, and they were able to offer up 1,000 offerings on it. V'ilu, Sinar V'ilu Beis HaOlamim Hu, Omer, V'yizbach Shlomo Zevach HaShlomo, Asher Zevach LaHashem, Bakar Esum Shtayim Elef. So ultimately, again, remember, as I just mentioned before, they offered up a total of 142,000 karbanos over the course, it's not really one day, I shouldn't say one day, not one day, over the course of the inauguration. So the Gemara says, "Ukisha'ata magia lecheshbon olos uleminyan amos ze gadol mizeh." Now we'll say now. Remember again. Now remember, halacha lemaisa, the mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech should have been big enough to accommodate the sacrificial load, the sacrificial volume. It was enough. Right now, again, obviously not all at once, but over the course of that day, ultimately, again, there would have been enough room to accommodate all of the karbanos. So, therefore, why is it that Shlomo, just darshaning over here, why is it that Shlomo HaMelech would have needed to expand the sacrificial area to include the floor of the Azara? He should have been able to accommodate everything on the Mizbeach itself. The problem is the Pasuk itself says that the Mizbeach was too small. Ela mahu katan mehachil. Rather, I will say, what does it mean ultimately that the Mizbeach was too small? What does it mean? The Gemara says, Ke'adam ha'omer lechavero, ploni nanasu, opasal la'avoda. What it means is, the Gemara compares it again, we'll see exactly what this means. The Gemara says, what does it mean ultimately again that it was too small? It's like a person who tells his friend that so-and-so, or says about someone, so-and-so is a midget, and therefore unable to do the avoda. Okay, what exactly is happening over here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ela mahu omer katan me'achil lav mizbeach avanim kamar umishumahu yoma ela mizbeach hanechoshes kamar ubal lepost la liolim shesilku." So I say, listen to this. When the pasuk says that the mizbeach was too small, this is fascinating. It was not talking about the mizbeach of Shlomo. Which mizbeach was it talking about? The mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built. Remember again, Shlomo builds a new mizbeach. Now, there was a Mizbeach, because Moshe Rabbeinu had built a Mizbeach for the Mishkan. The Pasuk now says that, by the way, they did not use the Mizbeach of Moshe. They went ahead and they deconstructed and put away the materials from that Mizbeach and built a new Mizbeach. Why did they build a new Mizbeach? Because the old one was too small. So the too small statement was not on Shlomo's Mizbeach, rather on Moshe. He said, look at that, Rashi is really incredible. Lav Mizbeach Avanim Kamar. Now again, I just want to point out, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach is referred to as Mizbeach Avanim, a Mizbeach made of stones. Our Mizbeach, this Mizbeach now, Our Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash is called Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper Mizbeach, as opposed to the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKadosh was called the Mizbeach HaZav. The inner one was made ultimately again of gold, outer one is called the copper one. So again, Moshe is called Mizbeach HaAvonim, Beis HaMikdash Mizbeach HaNechoshes, inner one Mizbeach HaZav. So now look at Rashi. Lav Mizbeach HaAvonim Kamar, so when it says that the Mizbeach was too small, it's not referring to the Mizbeach HaAvonim. So when it says the Mizbeach was too small, so remember, the Pasuk is confusing because the Pasuk makes no reference to the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet now, so therefore the Pasuk just says the Mizbeach was too small. So we assume it's talking about the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech. So, but his Gemara says, no, it's about the Mizbeach of Moshe. So why not say that the Mizbeach of Moshe was too small? Why word the Pasuk in such a confusing way? To which the Gemara answers, it wants to be deferential and nice to Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, the Gemara gives, Ke'adam Shomer L'Chaveh Rashi, says Ba'adam Shenifso. If there's a Kohen that's, let's say, puzzled to do the Avoda, so what would they say about him? They would say, oh, so-and-so is a midget. Now, apparently, I don't know, I guess things change over time, but apparently in times of the Gemara, it would have been offensive to say this guy is puzzled to do the Avoda. But if you call him a midget, apparently that's not offensive, right? So in other words, that at least, now obviously a midget is not allowed to do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so calling him a midget is less offensive than saying he's puzzled. So same thing over here, the Gemara says, we said the Mizbeach was too small. The Pasuk doesn't say which Mizbeach was too small. So therefore, we the reader assume that it's talking about the Mizbeach of Shlomo. But in fact, it's not the Mizbeach of Shlomo. Rather, what was it? It was the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Incredible. Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbat Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi saying good. Rabbi Yehuda, Latame Yidamar, Mizbeach Sha'asa Moshe, God Vahayar. No, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Because Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made was actually a very large Mizbeach. The Sanya, Chamesh Amos Orech, the Chamesh Amos Rochav, Dvarm Kirchsam de Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say now again, when the Torah gives the dimensions ultimately again of the Mizbeach, of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Torah says that you shall make the Mizbeach Atzei Shit Mekesha Wood, Chamesh Amos Orech, 5 Amos in length, 5 Amos in width. Ultimately, again, it should be a square. Rabbi Yossi says, it's literal. That's the dimensions on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Namra Kan Ravua, V'namra Lahalan Ravua. Rabbi Yossi, get ready for this. Rabbi Yehuda says, get ready. Rabbi Yehuda says, it says over here, Ravua, meaning by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made, it says square. And it says over there, Ravua's on the Bosai, get ready. Where's over there? Over there is Yecheskel. Is Yecheskel. Now, Bosai, as we're going to talk about, there is dramatic machlokes, the visions of Yecheskel, which Beis HaMikdash is he referring to? Is Yecheskel referring to the Bayis Sheni, or get ready for it? Is he referring to the Bayis Shlishi? So there's a lot of ambiguity in terms of the visions of Yecheskel. But either way, for our purposes, it doesn't matter all that much. But the idea of Yehuda saying is like this. It says Ravua, it says square. The Mizbeach has to be square by Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says Ravua by the Mizbeach of Yecheskel. Mat lahalon me'em sa'isu hayamodeid. Avkan me'em sa'isu hayamodeid. Just like by Yecheskel, the measurements are from the center of the Mizbeach and on. So too by Moshe Rabbeinu is from the center. Oh, so we'll say that dramatically changes things. That means according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach is 5 amos by 5 amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 10 amos by 10 amos, right? That the 5 is measured from the center point. That obviously fundamentally changes the dimensions of the Mizbeach. V'hasam minalan. Now we'll say, by the way, in general, by Yecheskel, how do you know that he's measuring from the center point? T'chsev ha'ariel, shteim esrei amal l'chol ruach. The Pasuk says, and from the Ariel, we'll say, is the way that Yecheskel refers to the Mizbeach. Ultimately, again, it's 12 amos l'chol ruach. Cholruach, oh, in the Elayud base, Alayud base. So how do you know that's measuring from the midpoint? Maybe it's 12 by 12 altogether. Kishu Omer, when the pasuk says El Arbaas Rivav Melamit Shema Emtzu Modei. So when it says ultimately again from its 4 quadrants, that tells you ultimately again that Halacha Lamaisa it is measuring from the middle. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi, fundamental Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, ultimately on the share of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yossi, Ki Gamar Gzeira Shava Begov of Huda Gamar. Rabbi Yossi, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up with this. I know a little bit kind of in the middle. Rabbi Yossi, but very exciting. Now, ultimately, again, talking about our Gzir Shava from, so therefore, Gzir Shava from the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Mizbeach of Yechezkel. And now trying to understand how big was the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, was it really too small, ultimately, again, to serve its purposes? In the base, Hamikdash is built by Shlomo Chaim Moshe. Stop over for today. Shkayach, everyone.